Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus in the West, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. What we're doing these days is we're going through the Bible, scripture, chapter by chapter, book by book, and verse by verse. Expository teaching is the style that we do here. Everything in context. We may, in context, reach out and present other verses that pertain to that context, but we want it all in context. We want to know what it means. We're not going to build any cut and paste or pick and choose theology here. These days, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew, and last time we ended up in chapter 17 and verse 22. And the reason I say we're not going to do any cut-and-paste theology, any pick-and-choose doctrines here, is because there's too much of that going on out there in the world. People like to pick a verse and build a doctrine on it. The verse distinctions, the chapter and verse distinction of the books, are not scripture. They are not the Word of God. They are in the scripture as a tool for reference, so that if I say, look here, you can go there and you know where I'm at in the book. If I just say, well, it's in the Gospel of Matthew, because we do have the book distinctions. Each book in the scripture is a separate and unique book, penned at some different time from the other books by various authors. So we have those distinctions. We have the book distinctions, but we do not have the chapter and verse distinctions. Those are there for our reference only, as a tool to help us in our study, as a reference so that we know where to look for any reference that someone may give. And when you get a reference from anyone, you take that reference and you read several paragraphs before and after to get the context. If you still don't get the feel of the context, perhaps read that whole chapter of the book. That's a good idea. Always look for the context of the scripture. Someone gives you a scripture and they're propounding a doctrine upon that scripture verse or several verses, you need to be a Berean, and you need to study to show, to find out whether those things be true or not. And you can only do that by reading the scripture in the context that it was given. And as we've been going through, we see that sometimes the context goes far and wide of several chapter references, and you really can't get the full picture of a single verse unless you read it in that context. So anyway, we left off at chapter 17 and verse 22. Of course, Yahshua had just upbraided the disciples, to recap, because of their unbelief, because they couldn't cast the demon out of a man. So he upbraids them. And he tells them that they need to practice prayer and fasting because of their unbelief. Not because they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because of their unbelief. But prayer and fasting helps us to conquer our unbelief. So we continue. And while they abode in Galilee, Yahshua, Jesus, said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. Well, you know that Peter, he got to speak up, always has the answer. And Peter is a people pleaser. We can tell that by, you know, how he reacts to situations. And these people come to him, well, yes, our master, yes, he's a good man. Yes, he pays tribute, right? So Peter says, yes. to these people that receive tribute. And of course, tribute? What is tribute? Well, let's take a look at the word tribute here and see what we can find out about it. Well, it says a double drachma. But when we pay tribute to something, what does it mean? It means that we sort of kind of honor with our substance, perhaps. In this case, definitely, because you're paying the tribute. And some people pay tribute by, you know, having a moment of silence or giving to a certain charity or having a ceremony of some sort to memorialize an event or a man or a deed to pay tribute. They came to Peter, and Peter says yes. And when he was come into the house, Yeshua prevented him. Okay, get the picture. Peter's outside, these men come to him, and they bump into Peter, and they're the collectors of the tribute money, and they say, doesn't your master pay tribute? You know, kind of accusing him. And of course, Peter, not wanting to offend them, and not wanting anyone to think ill of his master, because he loves this man, he loves Yeshua, he loves his master, and he realizes that he is the Son of God, the Christ. But here's the picture. So Peter is now going to go in the house where they're at. And what happens? Yeshua, that is, you know him as Jesus, he stands at the door and blocks his way from coming in the house. That's what it says. He said, and when he was come into the house, let's read it for yourself, verse 25 of chapter 17. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? So this clarifies it. A lot of people try to say, well, this was a temple tax and that's why Jesus paid it. But that's not what he's saying here. Now, he's the master, so let's listen to him. He labels this a tribute of the kings of the earth. Make no mistake about it. Do you think that the master did not know what was going on? He stood at the door. He prevented Peter from coming in. He blocked his way to confront him. And he says, what thinkest thou, Simon? And listen to, he calls him Simon. He doesn't call him Peter. Remember, he already renamed him Peter. Thou art Peter. His name was Simon. And you'll notice that our Creator had a habit of renaming people when they became his. How about Abram was now Abraham? Jacob became Israel. And Simon became Peter. So why is now Yeshua referring to Simon instead of Peter? Because he's referring to the man of the flesh. That's what he's talking to, the man of the flesh. So there's a lesson even in the name that he's calling him. So let's continue. What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. And Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. And that's not a question. That's a statement. That's a proclamation. The children are free. And you know what I see in the land that I live in, that where there was founded a great nation, founded on these lamb-like principles. We have the Lamb of God giving us a principle. The children are free. That's right. You don't collect custom or tribute of the children because they're free. And we had some founding fathers very wisely founded a nation of free people. And then when some very sneaky men came along and decided to write up a constitution, well, they said, well, we can't ratify this unless our God-given liberties are protected. And so they added 10 articles of amendment to the constitution to protect our God-given liberties, our God-given rights. If you take our God-given liberties, our God-given rights away, then the state controls everything. Nobody, all men are not born equal. You only have the rights and the liberty that the state gives you. And the state giveth and the state taketh away. However, if your rights come from the Almighty Creator of the universe, and He never changes, the liberty, the freedom that He gave us will never be taken away by Him. And that's why the very founding document, that Declaration of Independence, said that we have unalienable rights from our Creator, is still the foundation. It's the document I look to. The Articles of Confederation, they were fine. That was a pact between the different states, but it did not bind any of the states or enslave any of them to each other. It was a loose confederation, and they weren't constrained to be a part of it. They could be part of it or they could opt out. But the Confederation was for their common defense. And that was about it. And money was gold and silver. And every attempt at paper money failed. And if money was gold and silver, well, it would never fail because that, you know, that substance would always be that substance. And that's another reason that they wrote in the Constitution that gold, nothing but gold and silver will be money. So anyway, that lamb-like principle, the children are free. I just wanted to highlight that, and we got off into a little history lesson there about the founding of this nation and another lamb-like principle. So as I go through the scripture and I see these lamb-like principles that this nation was founded on, I am going to point them out because it's very important when we come to prophecy and history. If we can see prophecy fulfilled in history, and there was a lamb-like beast that rose up in the wilderness, and we see a government that has all these lamb-like principles when it rises up, but it later changes its form of government and becomes a dragon, meaning that it persecutes and it uses force. It's no longer lamb-like. That's what it means when it starts to speak like a dragon. Because if it's lamb-like, it's not using force, but when it speaks like a dragon, then it's using force. Okay, but that's a prophecy lesson. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and listen to the prophecy teaching there, the Bible studies on Daniel and Revelation. If you want a little more information on that, it's all in those Bible studies. Okay, so he says, Yahshua says, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of the strangers? So Peter has the right answer. Of strangers, Peter answers. Then are the children free. Now listen to what he says. And remember, I pointed out that he refers to him as Simon, his name before he renamed him, the man of the flesh. Because it was the man of the flesh that answered. The man of the spirit would have went to the master in prayer. That's right. And you know what? They could just walk up to him and pray to him. They could pray right to his face by talking to him. And he could have asked him, because the man of the spirit would have asked. He would have went to Yahshua. He would have said to that man out there, the collector of tribute, he would have said, wait here a minute while I go ask the master. It was the man of the flesh that answered presumptuously for the master. So the man of the spirit, Peter, would have said, just wait here a minute while I go ask the master. But Simon, the man of the flesh, said, answered presumptuously for the master. So let's move on. Let's see what Yahshua does about the situation that Peter has got them into. He says, then are the children free, notwithstanding, even though, lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and for thee. Peter, okay? Well, he's talking to Simon. Simon, man of the flesh, because you answered presumptuously, I'm going to send you back to your former profession to fulfill your word. Listen to me, you tax protesters out there. Listen to the teaching of the master. If you've got yourself into an agreement with this ungodly system out there, this system of tribute, and you made an agreement to pay by accepting their number, by entering into, or perhaps someone entered into it when you were a child, but you continued to affirm it when you became a man, that relationship, then you need to fulfill and answer that relationship. That's the lesson here. Don't go for this stuff, show me the law. Yahshua is showing us the law here. Peter made an agreement. There's the law. Fulfill it. Keep your agreement. So he says, notwithstanding. So he sends him back to labor in the flesh. The man of the flesh is going back to become a fisher of fish to fulfill his obligation that he made in the flesh. So he went back to his profession as a fisher of fish rather than a fisher of men. Because the fisher of men has a master. The fisher of fish, well, he just went out and fished like his profession would require him to, but he was the man of the flesh, sowing to the flesh. And there's nothing wrong with working for a living, don't get me wrong, but the lesson is here for us as far as tax paying. So if you're enslaved, if you have an agreement, if I show you the law, as the master shows you the law here, keep your agreement and use the law to get out. As Paul said, if you're a slave, because admit it, if you sign that agreement, if you made this image called Social Security by the U.S. government, if you've made this image your fiduciary, if you've made this image your master, then you need to obey the agreement, to obey the law of that agreement. And Paul said, slaves, serve as unto the Lord. That means keep your agreements. But if you can be made free, see, Paul continued, but if you can be made free, rather use it. And if you don't understand what that means, that if you can be made free by that law that binds you to another master, you use that law to become free. Don't rebel against your agreement. Use the law of the agreement to become free. And you can do that. You can do that. So he says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for me and for thee. In other words, Peter, because you made a presumptuous agreement without asking me, I'm going to make you go back and earn the money to pay the agreement you made. Chapter 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, Yahshua, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, perk yours up, all of you people that love the kingdom of heaven. All of you people that want to live in the kingdom of heaven. All of you people that have repented and continue to carry the cross and continue to live that lifestyle of repentance, that his law may be written in your mind and heart, that he, that is Yahuwah, might be your God and you might be his people. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Chapter 18 and verse 2. And Yahshua called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You notice he didn't just say, become as children, but to be converted. That means to put off everything that you've learned up to that point in your life. To be converted and to become as a child and relearn. You don't forget all the lessons you've learned in your life, but you're willing to relearn those lessons. You're going to judge everything that you've learned because all those lessons are going to pop up. All of them are going to come to mind in time at least. And you're going to rethink every single one of them. So you don't just become as a child, but you be converted and become as a child. You put off. You question. You say, everything I learned up to this point in my life is now questionable. I will re-examine it. We don't just throw it away. we're going to re-examine everything. And we have a new standard by which to examine it. And that is the standard of His truth and His righteousness, His law and His word. We have a new standard. And it takes humility and a humble spirit to do this thing, to be willing to say, what I've learned might be wrong. What I was taught by my teachers and my parents might not be correct. Long-standing traditions may not be the right way. My patriotism or idea of it may not be a proper thing in the kingdom of heaven. And we'll dive into this when we get back from this short break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you.